many people today have been misled into thinking that God wants them to do whatever it is that makes them happy. In fact, if they listened to many in the religious world today, they would hear a message that would appeal to that idea, that mindset. And so many have been led to believe that when it comes to worship itself, that worship is not about God, but rather it's about us and us doing what makes us happy. And that when we are happy, then God is happy. But as we diligently search the Scriptures to see if those things are there, we will find that the Bible just does not match up with what they are saying it teaches. These very precious souls have been misled to live under a fabricated teaching that if I'm happy, then God is happy. And so I need to do whatever it is that makes me happy. But as we've already said, the Bible does not agree with such a teaching. Rather, it reveals that knowing God is pleased, is my joy. When we have done our very best to live and to worship according to God's will, then we can know that He is pleased. And it's then that our lives are filled with joy and we can have happiness. Our joy as Christians is found in lifting God up before the world, whether it brings us any earthly happiness or not. Thus, Jesus wants us to have an abundant life. John chapter 10 and verse number 10. But there are secrets which Jesus Himself has revealed to us that lead us to that abundant life. And it's not about doing what makes me happy. It's about surrendering my will to Him. And it's about doing what is His will that will bring me the greatest happiness. One of the secrets which He reveals to us is that of living. The secret of living is in bearing fruit. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 19, every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. There's different ways in which we can bear good fruit, and by our bearing of that good fruit, we know that we are pleasing to God, and because we know that we are pleasing to God, then we can have joy in our life. We bear fruit by winning souls to Christ. We bear fruit by sharing with those who are in need. We bear fruit by developing Christ-like character within our lives. And we bear fruit, good fruit, by praising God and giving the thanks to Him. So let's look at these a bit closer. Paul explains soul winning as bearing fruit in Romans chapter 1 and verse number 13. There Paul said, I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that often I have planned to come to you and have been prevented so far so that I may obtain some fruit among you also, even as among the rest of the Gentiles. When we are winning souls to Christ, we are bearing fruit. Bearing good fruit, which will allow us to continue to exist in the good graces of God. Paul also speaks of sharing with those in need as bearing fruit. Notice, if you will, Romans chapter 15, verses 25 through 28. Romans chapter 15, beginning in verse 25. But now I am going to Jerusalem, serving the saints, For Macedonia and Achaia have been pleased to make a contribution to the poor among the saints in Jerusalem. Yes, they were pleased to do so, and they are indebted to them. For if the Gentiles had shared in their spiritual things, they are indebted to minister to them also in material things. Therefore, when I have finished this, I have put my seal on this fruit of theirs. I will go on by way of you to Spain. Paul says that by our sharing with those who are in need, we bear fruit for the cause of Christ. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23, he gives us that list of the fruit of the Spirit. And we find there in that list things which we can bear, which make our life an abundant life. Things like love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Praising God and giving thanks are always ways in which we can bear good fruit. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15 says, "Through Him then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of lips giving thanks to His name." If we want to have the abundant life, if we want to have great joy in our lives, then we must bear in mind that the secret to living that life is bearing fruit. And it's not about bearing fruit to ourselves, it's about bearing fruit for the cause of Christ. It's about Christ, it's about God, and not about me so much. But the secret to bearing fruit is in abiding. John chapter 15, verse 4 and verse 5, Jesus said, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine," Jesus said. "You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." When we become Christians, there is first a union with Christ, then a communion with Christ. Paul speaks of this union with Christ as he takes place in baptism. Galatians chapter 3, verse 27. "For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ." Romans chapter 6, beginning in verse 3, he says, "Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ, Jesus, have been baptized into His death? Therefore we have been buried with Him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with Him in the likeness of His death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection." Having put on Christ and being united with Him in baptism, our union with Him is like that of the branch to a vine. Sounds very familiar to us, having read John chapter 15, verse 4 and verse 5. We also abide in this union. We have the communion of fellowship with Christ in a very close and very personal way. Again, John chapter 15, this time verse 4 specifically. This communion, this mutual abiding which we have with the vine, which is Christ, enables all of the branches, we as disciples, to bear fruit. The secret to bearing fruit is abiding, but the secret to bearing fruit is due to the way in which we live. Christ gives His disciples what is needed to live the Christian life. He gives us all things pertaining to life and godliness, which sets us on the path to living life living an abundant life. And it begins with bearing fruit. John chapter 15 tells us that those who abide in Christ, the true vine, bear much fruit, verse number 5. They are pruned by the Father, verse number 2. They have a growing sense of dependence upon God, verse 5. Their prayers are answered by Him, verse 7 and verse 16. And they have a love for Christ and His people, verses 9 and 12, as well as an inner joy, verse number 11, that at times words itself cannot explain. We want to have a joyful life. We want to have an abundant life. It's not going to be found in doing things that make us happy. It's going to be doing things that are pleasing to the Father and abiding in Christ. And when we abide in Him, we can know we are pleasing to Him, and therefore we will be filled with joy. The secret of bearing fruit is abiding. But the secret of abiding is in obeying. Jesus Christ Himself stated that by keeping His commandments, we abide in His love. John chapter 15 and verse 10, if you keep My commandments, you will abide in My love, just as I have kept My Father's commandments and abide in His love. Jesus kept the Father's commandments, and thereby He was abiding in the Father's love. And so long as we are keeping His commandments, we too will abide in His love. By keeping Christ's commands, we will also be considered His friends. John chapter 15 and verse 14, there Jesus said, "You are My friends if you do what I command you." The principle of abiding through obeying is what governed Jesus' relationship with His Father while He was upon this earth. And this principle of abiding through obedience should govern our lives, our conduct as Christians. And so to see how important our obedience is, let us take a brief and quick look at obedience throughout the Bible. Beginning in the Old Testament, obedience was stressed. It was stressed with the beginning of the nation of Israel, Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12 and 13. Later on, when the prophets were trying to get the entire nation of Israel to turn from their apostasy and turn back to God, they once again stressed obedience. Isaiah chapter 1, verses 18 through 20. When King Saul was passing things along, he stressed 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22 and 23, obedience above all others. When Solomon, in his search for life's meaning, came to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13, the thing which he stressed to us was and is obedience. In the New Testament, obedience once again would be stressed by Jesus Himself during the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 to 27, Luke chapter 6 and verse 46. Jesus would continue to stress obedience when He talked about those who made up His true family. Mark chapter 3, verse 31 to 35. Those who do the Father's will. Jesus stressed obedience when giving out the Great Commission. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. Observe all that I have commanded you. Obedience was stressed by Jesus, and it was passed along to His apostles as they too would go about preaching and teaching and stressing obedience. Peter did that in Acts chapter 10, specifically looking at verse 34, 35, and verse 48. He stressed obedience to the will of God. Paul stressed obedience in Acts chapter 17 and verse 30. In Romans chapter 6, verse 17 and verse 18. It can be no doubt that the secret of abiding is obeying, and obedience was stressed throughout the Bible. And therefore, it is mightily important to us today that the secret to abiding in Christ is obeying. But the secret to obeying is loving. God has always desired that His people obey Him out of love. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 and 5. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse number 9 again emphasizes this obedience out of love. Know therefore that the Lord your God, He is God, the faithful God, who keeps His covenant with His loving kindness to the thousandth generation with those who love Him and keep His commandments. In Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12 and 13, now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require from you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all His ways and love Him, and to serve the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and to keep the Lord's commandments and His statutes, which I am commanding you today for your good. Deuteronomy chapter 11 and verse 1, it's no surprise. You shall therefore love the Lord your God and always keep His charge, His statutes, His ordinances, and His commandments. As much time as I put into thinking about and considering these things of obedience and how it comes from loving, it wasn't till this afternoon that I was looking at these very matters again that it dawned on me, out of all of these passages that we've just looked at from Deuteronomy, every one of them, love for God is mentioned before anything about a command. And it caused me to question, and it causes me to wonder something that I'm going to be looking into. How many times in Scripture does God say something about love and command in which love is mentioned first? It's not just an Old Testament thing, for we see that Jesus wanted His disciples to obey Him out of love. John chapter 14, verse 15, He says, "If you love Me," then He adds, "you will keep My commandments." The value of obedience out of love can be easily seen. We may initially obey God out of fear. We may initially obey God out of some selfishness of our own, but we soon grow out of that when we grow in our obedience to Him through love. The key to continued and successful obedience requires that it be done not out of fear, not out of selfish desires, but out of our love for God. Only when we are motivated by love will we be faithful in our obedience in both the good times and the bad times. Thus, the secret of obeying is loving. But Jesus has shared with us that the secret of loving is knowing. All strong relationships, no matter what the type, a husband and wife relationship, a dating relationship, our friendships, our relationships with brothers and sisters in Christ, you name the relationship, considering any of them, if it is a strong relationship, then it's based upon knowledge and understanding of all of the parties who are involved. The same is true in our relationship with God. The more we come to know God, the more we come to know about Jesus Christ, the more we will love them. The more we know, the more we love. Knowing God, then, is the first step. The first major step in the process of living an abundant life and living a life where we can be filled with joy. By knowing God, we come to love Him. By our loving God, we will obey Him. By our obeying God, we will abide in Him. By abiding in Him, we will bear fruit. And by our bearing fruit, we will experience the joys of the abundant life that Jesus wants us to have. John chapter 10 and verse 10. I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. So how can we come to know God in such a way as to produce this chain reaction that one step leads to another, and in the end it culminates with the abundant life? Well, we can come to know God through communication. Isn't that what our human relationships are based upon? Communication. Where there is communication, relationships flourish. Where there is little or no communication, relationships struggle. Communication with God is a two-way street. He speaks to us through His Word, the Bible. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21. John chapter 16, verse 12 and 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 37. And we get to speak with God through prayer. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17 and 18. That two-way communication street, as simple as it may sound, is what leads us to starting this chain reaction. Reading the Bible and praying to God are the catalyst behind living the abundant life, living a life of true joy. The value of God's Word in bearing fruit is described for us in Psalm chapter 1. Psalm chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scorn of the scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. And he will be like a tree firmly planted by the streams of water, which yields its fruits in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and in whatever he does, he prospers. The value of God's Word upon bearing fruit, being that tree, also shows us the value of prayer, to receiving the blessings from God which are taught to us by Jesus in Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 11. Ask, and it will be given you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, when his sons ask for a loaf, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, he will not give him a snake, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask Him? God is a storehouse of blessings waiting to bestow upon us. He's waiting for us to ask. We also come to a knowledge of God through experience. As we go through life, walking with God daily through Jesus and the inspired writing, we will experience such things as their love for us and the strength which they desire to impart to us in facing the temptations and facing Satan. Experiencing such blessings which come from God and from God alone, it will not only help us to come to know God better, but it will also facilitate our love for Him. Listen to the words of the psalmist in Psalm 116, verses 1 and 2. He said, I love the Lord because He hears my voice and my supplications, because He has inclined His ear to me. Therefore I shall call upon Him as long as I live. And we understand that the secret to loving is the secret to knowing. We foster a desire to be in the Word of God. What we find then is that the abundant life can become a self-perpetuating cycle if we will be willing to know God and to come to know Him more every day by giving Him our minds as we read His Word and we pray. Then we will love God and give Him our hearts as we learn more of His love for us. And loving God, we will then want to obey Him all the more. And in doing so, giving Him our wills, since we are motivated by love, we can trust Him with all of our being. Obeying God then will cause us to abide in Him, and thus the benefit from His strength. Abiding in Him and benefiting from His strength, we will bear fruit. We will bear good fruit. We will bear much fruit and thereby enjoy the blessings found in the very act of bearing fruit through the experience of bearing that fruit and walking with God daily. Our knowledge of Him will continue to grow, continue to increase, and the cycle starts all over again. The more we know about Him, the more we love Him. The more we love Him, the more we want to obey Him or abide in Him. The more we abide in Him, the more we want to obey Him. The more we obey Him, the more we want to love and do His will. The more we love and do His will, the more we want to know about Him, and on the cycle goes. So will you show your love for God to the world? Will you show your love for Christ by obeying Him tonight? He is the one who is calling you through the gospel. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 and 25. He's calling us to come to Him. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30. He wants us to believe in Him. John 8, verse 24. A belief that comes from hearing about Him. He wants us to repent of our sins, Acts chapter 3 and verse 19. He wants us to confess our belief in Him, Matthew chapter 10, verse 32 and 32, or 32 and 33. He wants us to be baptized in His name, Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. He wants us to continue faithfully living out that commitment to the very end, Revelation 2 and verse 10. Those who are living a life for Christ can experience the abundant life, a life that is not found anywhere else. It's not found in the false and misleading teachings of the religious world that things are not about God, but they're about me. No, they are found in submitting our will to the will of God and doing what is pleasing to Him. And only when we have done what is God's will, can we truly have the abundant life, a life that is filled with joy. So I ask you tonight, are you seeking after a life that is filled with joy? Do you want to experience joy in your life beyond measure? It all begins with one step of coming to Christ. And tonight you've been afforded that opportunity to come to Him. And if you're subject to that calling, we invite you, we encourage you to come now as we stand and as we sing. Burden.